Bruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha's Chayisara. Wonderful to have so many people here live in the Heichal, people who are listening as we give the shiur, and people who will, Bez Hashem, hear the recording when it's sent out. Bruchim Abayim, the shiur is said, L'zecher Nishmas, Ula Ile Nishmas, Rebecca Basterina and Leon Ben Rachel, may their Neshama Tairas have a Lichtige Gan Eden. Very excited to be able to join together. Parshas Chayesara, Parsha Insights. If you take a look in the very beginning of Perek Chavdala, the Pasuk says it's in the beginning of the Parsha, the Avraham Zokhein Baba Yomim. He was old, well on in his years. Vashem Berechas Avraham Bako. Hashem blessed Avraham Bako. And we are pretty familiar, I would imagine, actually, we're very familiar with a number of pshatim on the word bakol. What does it mean that Avram had everything? Rashi says bakol, beis chof lamin, is the numeric value of 52. And the word ben, beis nun, a son, is 52, indicating that he was blessed with a son. There are multiple pshatim on these words. Vashem berechas Avram bakol. I remember years ago hearing a very beautiful pshat al pidrush. I think it was B'Shem the Bardishva Rebbe, I'm not 100% sure, but I enjoy the Pshat tremendously. These words homiletically could be understood as Vashem Berechas Avraham. What was the biggest bracha that Hashem could give to Avraham? Bako, that everyone else had a bracha as well. And if everyone else, Bako, everybody is blessed, then Avraham Avinu feels that he himself is blessed. And obviously that's what we mean, to be truly happy for another person, because if I have and someone else doesn't, can I truly be happy? Vashem Berechas Avraham, the biggest bracha that Hashem gave to Avraham was Bakol, that everyone had bracha at the same time. And if everyone simultaneously has a bracha, then that's the ultimate bracha you can give Avraham. For I can be happy if others have, but how could I be if others don't? When I said this pshat a number of years ago, as I said, I believe it's from the Bardishva Rebbe, I commented that I had once heard, and I believe it was in the name of Rapam Zatzal, that we know there is a medrash that tells us that when Sarah became expecting, when Sarah was expecting, Chazal say, the Medrash tells us that at that same time, mamish then, all of the other women in the world that had not yet been blessed with children, they also at the same time became expecting also to have a child. And that's what the Medrash tells us. I believe it was Rav Pam who explained, similar to the chat we just said, because for Sarah to have been blessed with a child, when many others did not have that bracha, would Sarah's joy possibly be complete? Memela, on the day that Sarah became expecting, the Medrash says all others who had not yet been blessed with children also became expecting, because that would be a true bracha to Sarah. For her to have and others to not is not a true bracha for her. But for her to have and simultaneously everyone else to have the same bracha, then her simcha and her joy has now become complete. So I thought it's beautiful that we say the exact same shot both by Avraham and by Sarah, that their true bracha, what truly made them genuinely happy, is only if others can share happiness as well. For as we said already twice, for one to have and the other not, how could your simcha be complete? But when the other has as well, then and only then should your simcha feel complete. As it was by Avraham, so it was by Sarah. Bakol, only when everyone else had the blessing did they feel truly complete with simcha and with joy. I think we could carry this beautiful concept. It's such a beautiful idea, such a magnificent idea. I think that we could apply it. I believe we could apply it one step further. If you take a look in the Chumash, right when he sends Eliezer to find someone for Yitzchak, a suitable match, the Pasuk says, Mamish, right after Chav Dalet Pasuk Gimel, if you're looking inside, if not, when you have a chance, again, Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk says, he told Eliezer, one of the very great criteria to finding a Shidduch for my Yitzchak, Leisikach Isha Livni Mibnais HaKenani, don't take someone, a girl from the land of Canaan. Now, literally, the next four words, Asher Anoichi Yoshev B'Kirbo, means, this is amongst whom I dwell. Asher Anoichi Yoshev B'Kirbo, amongst who I dwell. But I once heard a beautiful pshat, and it's such a nice segue from what we just said about Avram and Sarah, how you have to be so giving, so caring. My joy should only be complete if you have. He was telling Eliezer, you're looking for someone for my son. I want you to know the most important criteria. Don't take someone from Eretz Canaan. And you want to know why? Once again, we're going to read these words, Al Pidrush. While Asher Anoichi Yoshev B'Kirbo literally means, among whom I dwell, it could also be understood, Asher Anoichi, because the idea of Anoichi, what does the idea of Anoichi mean? I, selfishness, Anoichi, self-aggrandizement, Anoichi Yoshev B'Kirbo. That's something about the people who dwell there, and I don't want someone for my son who's an Anoichi type of person, who's a selfish type of person, who it's all about me and I and self-aggrandizement. That is not somebody that I want as a daughter-in-law. Don't take someone from that land. Asher Anoichi Yeshev B'Kirbo. That concept of Anoichi, I, me, selfishness, Yeshev B'Kirbo is something that they dwell with, and that's not something that could be a mida in my daughter-in-law. Very powerful pshat. And it goes beautifully with what we said a moment ago. Avram and Sarah were the very paradigm and the quintessence of, I can only be happy if someone else has as well. But if someone is missing, I can't and I shouldn't be truly happy. And that's mamish why now we're looking for the next generation. We're looking for the Zivug, her daughter-in-law. When looking for someone for his son Yitzchak, he furthered that same concept that he and Sarah had and said, don't take somebody mibnei saknani asher anoichi yeshev b'kirbo. There's too much anoichi. There's too much I. There's too much it's about me and selfishness. And that is the antithesis of Bakal. And that's not a midah. We once mentioned, or more than once, but it's certainly worth repeating, it's such a magnificent maisa. I heard that a number of years ago, a professor wanted, I don't know the particulars, but to meet our Gadol Hador, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, Zoller Gesund und Stark sein. And I think the meeting perhaps lasted 45 minutes or maybe up to an hour. And when he came out of the meeting, they asked the professor, they wanted to know, they give the impression, he just met our Gadol Hador, Reb Shmuel. So he said, before I tell you details or whatever he was able to speak about, I'm told that he said, the most impressive thing I experienced was I spoke to that great sage for 3/4 of an hour, and not once did he use the word I. Now you try to have a conversation and see how many times we say the word I or me in a minute, yet alone in 45 minutes, it could be dozens or countless dozens. And here he had a conversation with Reb Shmuel and he said he never once used the word I. Because by Reb Shmuel there's no anoichi, I, me. It's not about I or me. It's about we, it's about us, it's about Hashem Berechas Avraham Bakol. that's when you have true bracha. Not to have a neichi, that's selfish. And that made the greatest impression on this professor. When I met this great sage, he said, I did not hear the word I even once. If you take a look in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, the reason I share this with you very quickly in the beginning of Vayetze, because this midah that we're speaking about is so critical, we mentioned it by Avraham. Now we mention how much Avraham wanted to make sure is by Yitzchak as well. Hence, when looking for a wife, I don't want the midah of Anoichi. And now look how beautifully we can make it, v'chut ha-meshulash, the three-ply cord. Let's go to the grandson, Yaakov Avinu. If you take a look in the beginning of Vayetze, and I believe this chapter is in the Chassam Sefer, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, if you take a look in the beginning of Vayetze, the Pasuk says that Yaakov woke up from the very famous dream, Vayomer, and he said, Achein, very beginning of the Parsha, Pasuk Kazayim, Achein Yesh Hashem Bamakom Hazeh, surely Hashem is present in this place, V'anoichi lo yadati. Now, literally, that means V'anoichi lo yadati. I didn't know. But it's the Chassam Sofer who reads it al pi drush based on the pshat that we just said. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Where is Hashem surely going to be present? In a place anoichi lo yadati, when there's no anoichi, when the anoichi, I, me, the selfishness. Lo yadati, when you don't know about that. When you don't have an anoichi, when it's anoichi lo yadati, when there's no anoichi, then, achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Then Hashem says, I'm present. And you find the concept we just expressed in all three generations, by Avraham, by Yitzchak, and by Yaakov Avinu. Maisa avos simul habonim, we have to emulate the way of our avos. It's so critically important to be a person. We have to diminish our anoichi. It's not all about me and I. We said over a number of years ago, maybe you could say on a little bit of a lighter note, if you're ever looking to speak at a Sheva Bracha in Ufruf, this might be the perfect Dvar Torah. Now, if you only listen to the first half, you'll think, is he kidding? I would say that at a Sheva Bracha. You find one pasuk where the pasuk tells us, "Matza isha matza tayv." I found a woman, I found my wife, and it's the best. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. I found good. You find another pasuk that says, "Umoitza ani es ha'isha marmi maves." I find this woman more bitter than death. Does not sound like the finest Sheva Bracha speech you can give. I'm certainly looking at the faces here in the Heichal, and you are correctly wondering. Umoitza ani es ha'isha mar mi mavas, the pasuk says, I find this woman more bitter than death. How do you reconcile that with the pasuk, matza isha matza tayv? Because listen to where we accentuate and put the emphasis. Matza isha. What can I do for my Isha? What can I do for my wife? What can I do for my spouse? Matzah Tov. That's the best find in the world, where there's no anoichi, and you're only interested in what you could do for your spouse. But what does the other pasuk say? Umaita ani. If you're looking for the ani, I, me, what can I get out of it? Marmi mavis. That's more bitter than Misa. What a fabulous way to reconcile the two psukim. And indeed, a magnificent pshat to say, be it at an ufruf, at a sheva brachas, at a beautiful simcha. A relationship has to be matza isha. What can I do for my spouse? What can I do for my wife? What can I do for the other person? Then you merit matza tov. But when it's umaita ani, what can I find to get out of it? What can I do for myself selfishly? Then the pasuk says, "Marmi mavas," and that's the need that we find to begin the parsha by Avram, by Yitzchak, and by Yaakov. They all have this midah of bakol. Don't take someone from Kenaan asher anoichi yeshe bekirboi. There's too much anoichi. By Yaakov Avinu, the Pasuk says, surely Hashem will be found in a place where Anoichi lo yadati, when you're not into the Anoichi. I'd like to take these pshatim one step further, what it means to be there for another person, what it means that my simcha should and could only be complete if you have. I'd like to take this to an exquisite next step. I say exquisite for those who were in shul this past Shabbos in the afternoon, in the shir before mincha, in the parsha shir, I had a chance to share this pshat. It's from Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. And those who heard the pshat surely realize, you were there when we said it in the afternoon? You were there when we said it in the afternoon? It's a pshat mamish like none other. To say exquisite about this pshat I'm about to share with you is not in any way, shape, or form doing it justice. The pshat will speak for itself. But I feel that it's a perfect complement to what we've said until now, to take this idea of caring and being part of a greater good one step further. Listen to a pshat from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. It's a pshat we said this past week. If you take a look in the parsha last week, in Parshas Vayera, in the beginning of Akedas Yitzchak, the Pasuk says that it's mamish in the beginning. Pasuk Aleph of Perech of Beis, whenever you have a chance to look inside, is beginning the Akedah. And right away in Pasuk Gimel, as the journey did not yet even begin, you remember this, Pshat Ruben, you remember from Shabbos. Vayashkem Avram Baboiker, Avram got up in the morning, and then the Pasuk says, Vayivaka Ase Oila, Vayelech Elamokam Asher Emer Lo Yelkim. He split the wood, he chopped up the wood, and then he began the journey. Look it up yourself. Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Gimel. That's when he split the word before the journey began. There's a medrash that tells us in Shirmais Rabbah, based on what I just read you, that he split the wood. The medrash says, Bizchus Avraham ani b'keya lohem esayom. The Ribbono Shel Olam says it's in the merit of Avraham Avinu, who split the wood for Akedas Yitzchak, that I will split the yam, meaning the yamsuk, where we sang Shira the Az Yashir. And you see that because of the usage of the word. Here, regarding the splitting of the wood, it says, Vayivaka Atzei Oila, to split and to chop the wood. Regarding the mayim by the yamsuk, it says, Vayiboku Amayim, the same word, Beis Kuf Ayim. It was in the schus of Avraham Avinu, says the Medrash in Shemais Rabbah, in the schus of Avraham, that the yam was split. I challenged people Shabbos afternoon. I usually don't challenge people live in the shir, because maybe those who are listening want to shout out the answer. What would you say is a fairly obvious question on this Medrash? And you were there on Shabbos, so you are not allowed to participate. But come on, you should want to jump and yell. Vos meint the medrash b'schus Avraham Avinu, the sea split. That's not the medrash or chazal we grew up with. The medrash and chazal we grew up with was that it was in the merit of Yosef HaTzadik that the yam split. The Pasuk says in Hallel, Hayom Ra'u Vayonos. What was it that the sea saw? What did it see? And it fled. The Medrash tells us, the Tanchuma says, Arayna Shel Yosef, the Aron of Yosef. It was in the schus of Yosef HaTzadik. And in passing the Nisayon, the trial and challenge with Eishes Potiphar. That's why the Yam split, not the schus Avraham Avinu. How do you reconcile the two Mamore Chazal? Was it the schus Avraham or Yosef, the way we always understood? To add a bit to the question, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank says, regarding the medrash that I quoted you of Avraham Avinu, that the Yamsuf split in the merit of Avraham, We know that the Ribbono Shel Olam punishes and rewards mida keneged mida, measure for measure. What was the mida keneged mida? You're just taking the same two words of Beis Kuf Ayin, which means to split, as Avraham split the wood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yamsuf. But wherein lies the mida keneged mida? Good, you're using the same words and the same shayrish, this split, and Hashem therefore split the Yam. But where's the mida keneged mida, the measure for measure? Here is that answer from Ritzvi Pesach Frank that I referenced earlier. It's based on a Mishnah Bava Metzia Daf Pei Omer Aleph. One of the points that the Mishnah makes, and Chazal say in explaining that Mishnah, is if a person is carrying a load, let's imagine a person has two loads, each one weighing 5 pounds. Whether or not it's going to be difficult to carry that 5-pound load really depends on how the weight is distributed. If a person, let's say, has a 5-pound ball or one mass of 5 pounds, that's certainly manageable or far more manageable than if someone would take 5 pounds of feathers or 5 pounds of hay. I don't mean to say like the kids joke, what weighs more, a 5-pound weight or 5 pounds of feather? 5 pounds is 5 pounds. But to carry it as a one ball is certainly far easier, because if it's 5 pounds of feathers or of cotton or whatever it might be, that could be big, bulky, cumbersome. It could be a mess. It's much easier to carry the first 5 pounds than the second 5 pounds. If that's the case, then one has to wonder, do you remember when I started this pshat? What did I tell you when Avram Avinu cut the wood? That pasuk that says, Vayivaka atei oila, he split and chopped up the wood. When did he do that? You remember where I told you pasuk Gimel? Where did that take place chronologically in the story of the Akedah? The journey didn't start yet. The journey didn't start yet. He got up in the morning and he split the wood. Why would he split the wood then? When you split the wood into different pieces, it's far more difficult and bulky and cumbersome to carry than one full log or two full logs. It's true, it's the same weight, but the weight is distributed evenly and far easier if they would be whole logs. So why then didn't he split the wood? Why didn't Avram split it? He got to HaRamayriah. He got to the place. The journey now ended. Yitzchak was going to be the Akedah. And at that point, split the wood. Why split it before the journey started? It makes the carrying of split and chopped wood far more difficult to carry. Why did he split it then? But Tzvi Pesach Frank is Masber, you're right. As far as carrying things, it would have made a lot more sense to carry full whole logs and then to split it when he got there, when Yitzchak was ready for the Akedah. But Avraham Avinu, because of his midah of rachmanus, of compassion and mercy and caring about someone, in this case, his son Yitzchak, he didn't want to begin cutting and chopping and splitting the wood then by the Akedah. The two best words to describe it would be, it would have been unnecessary inui hadin. The two operative words are inui hadin. Inui hadin means mental anguish. You're right, it would have been easier for Abraham, but to start cutting the wood in front of Yitzchak, while Yitzchak is watching, while we can't even imagine what those moments before Akedas Yitzchak must have been like. And at that very moment, to prolong it and to begin cutting the wood and splitting it then, that would have been inui hadin, unnecessary mental anguish. And you don't cause somebody inui hadin. As it was, we could only imagine how difficult of an assignment the Akedah must have been, or as I said, we can't. So once we got there, do the Akedah Yitzchak immediately. But to start delaying then and to first begin cutting the wood would have been unnecessary inoy hadin, and you don't cost somebody inoy hadin. And so even though it made the carrying far more difficult, he carried it in the beginning, so then the Akedah would be able to commence and begin right away. Then Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank says so incredibly, how was that measure for measure regarding the splitting of the Yamsuf? Because we know the way that the sea split, whether we go one column, 12 columns, but the point is that the Yamsuf split from beginning to end, however long it was, let us say it was hundreds of feet or hundreds of meters or blocks long, however long it was, it went up v'hamayim lehem chayma like a complete wall, beginning to end, from the beginning to the end, the entire sea split into however many columns. But Chazal say that it didn't have to be that way. When Klal Yisrael began crossing the Yamsuf, it could have been that the Yam would have been splitting in a different way. Chazal say it could have been that they would have taken one step, and that step right in front of them was split and part. And then upon taking the second step, another foot would split. And then a third step, another, a fourth, another, a fifth, another, until after making it hundreds of feet or a few blocks, step by step, each step as they took the next step, it would split. But what would be potentially wrong, or should I say difficult, with doing it in that fashion? The difficulty in doing it in that fashion, that each step of the way it becomes clear, dry land as you go, Klal Yisroel would never know. They would have inoy hadin each step. Yes, they would say as they took one step, it split. But now, is it going to split with the next step? And it split for two. Is it going to split for the next one? Is it going to split for the next one? Is it going to split for the next one? It would have been inoy hadin. It would have been mental anguish, always wondering and not being assured, having the fear. Will it continue to split? Will it continue? Will it continue? And that's what the medrash means, measure for measure. Bizchus, not that Avraham Avinu split the wood, but in the merit of the way he split the wood, in the merit of the fashion that he split the wood. What was the fashion that he split the wood? Before the journey began, so as not to cause inui hadin to Yitzchak. Bizchus, that! Mida keneged mida, measure for measure, the Yamsuf split. Not that the Yamsuf split, but it split in the way that it did, in the way that it did. Because it could have split, as I said a moment ago, every step and another step, but they would have been left to be frightful, fearful. Inoy hadin, is it going to split the next and the next and the next? In fact, this answers our other question as well. We opened up and we asked, which medrash is it? The medrash, the Tanchuma, Bishchus Avram, and Yosef. He says so beautifully. And the Sefer Birkas Elio brings down the fact that the Yamsuf split, the fact that the sea was going to split in general, that was Taka Bishchus Yosef HaTzadik. The fact that the Yamsuf split. But the way that it split, the eifer that it came about, that instead of it being step by step by step by step, it split from beginning to end entirely, that aspect of it was Bishchus Avram Avinu. Mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Avraham split the wood when he did before the journey started, so there wouldn't be any inui hadin, unnecessary prolonged mental anguish for Yitzchak. Bizchus, that measure for measure, the Yamsuf split the way that it did, not just step by step, but beginning to end, so as to remove any potential inui hadin from Klal Yisrael when they would cross the Yamsuf. Now, do you understand why I said to say exquisite would not have been acceptable? The best I could say about that pshat from Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank is, the words have to speak itself. on Shabbos when I said over this pshat, I apologize for repeating. Loyalim should forgive me. I asked Mechila, but how could I possibly have said that without reminding of the story with the Pshleimah Zalman Orbach? So forgive me for repeating what we said on Shabbos Kodesh. I heard a magnificent story that years ago somebody was walking with their son. That upcoming Shabbos was going to be the bar mitzvah of that boy. And walking, he met a friend, and the friend said to this man with the boy, "Oh, I'm looking forward to Shabbos, to the bar mitzvah. Looking forward to your son laning the special haftarah." I don't know which special haftarah it was. I don't think it was one of the Dalet Parshiyos. I think it was perhaps Machar HaChodesh, when you have Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, and the haftarah is a different one. And all of a sudden, the father of the bar mitzvah boy, mamish, turned pale. He taught his son the haftarah, but he taught him the regular haftarah, the haftarah for the parsha, not the special one, so to speak. He forgot that it was one of the special ones, perhaps Machar HaChodesh, and he taught the regular one. With the few days remaining to the bar mitzvah, he could not teach his son the new one. He went to the Poisik Ador to Reb Shlomeh Zalman Orbach, and he asked Reb Shlomeh Zalman. And Reb Shlomeh Zalman answered him that, yes, really a person is supposed to lane the special haftarah. But Reb Shlomeh Zalman explained why under these circumstances you could lane the regular haftarah. You could imagine how relieved the father must have been. Shabbos morning, the father and the bar mitzvah boy come to shul. And they get there before davening begins. And who's sitting in the shul? Reb Shlomeh Zalman Orbach. I heard from more than one person. This was when Reb Shlomeh Zalman was already in his 80s. And it could be that the walk from Reb Shlomeh Zalman to this shul was approximately an hour, if not more. And he asked Reb Shlomeh Zalman, what is the Poisik Hador doing here? I was equipped with the answer that it's okay. Listen to Reb Shlomeh Zalman said, I know you were. But I was afraid that when you let it be known what the answer is, maybe for a few minutes or a couple of moments there will be a tumult. Is that really what was said? And how do you know what was asked? And what was said? And what was the answer? That means for a few minutes while there's a tumult until things are ironed out, your son, the bar mitzvah boy, would be going through Inui Hadin. Unnecessary and prolonged mental anguish. And I didn't want the bar mitzvah boy to have Inui Hadin. So I realized that if I come to shul and I'm sitting here myself, then Be'ezus Hashem, there's not going to be a tumult. Nobody's going to question the psak. I'm sitting here and they see that it's my psak. Be'ezus Hashem, it's not going to be tumult or spoken about. There won't be those few moments of Inui Hadin, mental anguish. That's why Reb Shlomeh Zalman told the father of the bar mitzvah boy, I chose to make the walk and to be here myself to remove any potential Inui Hadin from the bar mitzvah boy. That's a maisa. That's why Avram Avinu split the wood before the journey began, to remove Inui Hadin. And I believe we're concluding the shir the way we started. I believe being sensitive to someone and not causing them Inui Hadin is part and parcel of the way we began the shir. V'ashem beirech es Avram bakol. The greatest bracha for Avram was bakol, that everyone else should share blessing as well, as we said by Sarah on the day she became expecting. That others should be happy, that others should be besimcha, only then should my joy be complete. One can't live with anoichi, it's all about I. That wasn't for Yitzchak's wife, Asher anoichi yoshe bekirboi. You find by Yaakov Avinu, when did he merit the presence of Hashem? Anoichi lo yadati, when you get rid of the anoichi, as the professor said when referring to our Gadol Hador. You remember the two psukim that we said, Matzah Isha. when I'm caring and thinking about someone else, then matzah toiv. Umoitz ani, if you're filled with anoichi, does geitnish. That's not going to happen. And I believe the natural byproduct to sensitivity towards a fellow yid is not allowing there to be any inui hadin. When you think about another person, matzah isha, matzah toiv, when there's no anoichi, you're constantly thinking about another person. You don't want to cause them angst. You don't want to cause them worry. You don't want to cause them any inui hadin. The way to becoming a bakol type of person is by removing the anoichi. And when you remove the anoichi, naturally you'll work on not wanting to cause another person any inui hadin. It's a way we have to reframe and reprogram ourselves, be it with our spouse, our family, our extended family, a fellow yid, someone we only know a bit. Thinking about them means no inui hadin. We should talk about zeicha, mida keneged mida, measure for measure. In the schus that we emulate, maisa of a similar bonum like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we become the type of people that don't have an anoichi. At the very best, we work on removing our anoichi. Little by little, we will try. More and more become the bakol type of person. I'm happy for you. My happiness comes when I see that you have. That's what makes me happy. And if that's what makes me happy, I will make a conscientious effort not to cause a fellow yid any inoy hadin. And in that schus, let the Ribbono Shel Olam Be'ezras Hashem reward Klal Yisrael mida keneged mida, that in the schus we care, truly care about one another, will Taka also have the bracha of Bakel.